You are listening to CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner.
Benita Spaulding, I'm with Cogent Valuation. We're a business valuation firm with offices in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, and Orange County.
You want to walk us through your background? I mean, how did you get to Cogent Valuations?
I started doing business valuation first as an intern at a small business valuation firm. I was still in my undergraduate finance program, and I loved it. First day, I called home and I said, this is it. I'm going to do business valuation for the rest of my life. So 35 years later, I'm still doing business valuation and intend to do that for as long as I can do it.
And so a few years ago, you ended up getting into the cannabis industry. Do you want to walk us through how that decision was made and why you guys decided to do that for Cogent?
I became interested in the cannabis industry when I started doing research. It's been legal in California for 20 years, more than 20 years. And I ignored the industry. And I decided because so many states were legalizing it, I would look into it. And I became convinced that the medical benefits of cannabis are real. I saw people talk to people who were so positively affected by it that I wanted to be involved from the standpoint that it seemed like it was a good thing, not a bad thing or scary thing. So I offered to do my first business valuation for a cannabis company for free. I told my friends, I told attorneys that I know and accountants that I know that I would do the first one free, because who's going to hire you even with all the experience that you have? They're going to ask, have you done a cannabis business? And if you say no, they're going to say, well, thank you very much. But if you say no, but I'll do your first one free, you have nothing to lose to let me do your business valuation work. So I was hired, and I've been hooked ever since. Being able to help these people who, for the most part, don't know a lot about finance and business valuation, to help them through the process of getting to a value, I just really enjoy it.
When does an individual or companies, you know, call you, and why would they call you? Why does a company need to be valued?
There are a variety of reasons for needing a business valuation, whether you're any kind of company. And so one of the first projects that I worked on was a business dispute where a company, the majority shareholders, needed to fire a minority shareholder. And to do that, you need to pay that minority shareholder for the value of their shares. So that was my freebie. I did that one for free. And then it's just kept coming. For a variety of reasons, businesses need a valuation. And they may have gotten an offer to buy their business or buy a minority share in their business. They need a business valuation. For a shareholder dispute, they need a business valuation. Somebody gets a divorce and it's a marital asset. So just like any divorce, if you have assets, they need to be appraised. And so we do that. Companies merging, we do valuations for that. And then there are the cases where a larger company that has audited financial statements, if they buy a business and they need to report that for their audited financial statements, their auditors require it. We do what's called purchase price allocation. In a cannabis company, it would be the value of all of their assets on their balance sheet, plus the intangible assets that aren't on their balance sheet. So we would value acquired workforce, goodwill, customer relationships, the value of brand names, strains, all of those intangible assets need to be valued. And we've gotten very good at that for other industries and for cannabis.
Well, and that brings up, you know, the big question that we talked about a little bit before is, you've got a process and methods to evaluate normal businesses and normal industries, which are pretty much the same. And then you have the cannabis industry, which You've had to adapt, some perhaps different processes, different methods. Do you want to talk about what those are and walk through how you adjust?
The same methodology that we use in all of our evaluations of any kind of company, any industry, are appropriate for cannabis businesses. So basically, we do what's called an income approach, a market approach, and a cost or asset approach. And we do the same approaches for cannabis companies. It's a little different for cannabis because cannabis companies have different assets that are common assets in any other company. They have strains. They're growing a plant that is very valuable. And so it's much different than for any other kind of company. For one of the primary approach is a discounted cash flow methodology. So a discounted cash flow methodology requires a forecast for any business and also for cannabis. In cannabis, though, you're starting with a lot of new companies, and so you're starting with a forecast that has very high growth and then normalizing growth. We're not sure where normalizing growth is in the cannabis industry because we haven't seen it yet. A lot of it is so new, and companies are building grow houses and then building another one and another one. All of that ramps up the forecast. Then, unlike regular companies that are federally legal, cannabis is federally illegal. So the discount rate incorporates the risk that this company is illegal. And one of the things that we've seen over the last few years, since 2016, is that riskiness, because it's federally illegal, is beginning to come down because more states are coming online that have having cannabis companies. That reduces risk. Sessions and the federal government has not really been able to actively attack cannabis companies that are operating in the state legally. So our discount rate has come down over the last 2 years, which increases the value of these businesses, and I think appropriately.
So was there a standard discount rate you'd always apply based on the illegality and like 20% or 10%? And then is there a discount rate based on the banking issue and it being a cash business?
So all of the restrictions on cannabis business, like the need to pay taxes differently than every other tax-paying business based on 280E for cannabis, that's a risk, that's a factor that you can calculate into your cash flow forecast, but it also has an impact on the discount rate because it makes the business more risky. The lack of banking makes the business more risky. The lack of the inability to accept credit cards and debit cards in a dispensary, that makes the business more risky because now you have stockpiles of cash in your back room in safes. So all of that affects the discount rate, but there is no stated starting point for a discount rate. We do a build-up method for the discount rate, regardless of what kind of business it is. So we start with a basic rate, like a discount rate that's a very basic rate. And then we add to that components of risk, the fact that it's an operating business, the fact that it's only been operating a short time, and then the fact that it's a cannabis business adds a piece. So it adds a little bit more risk, and all of that gets added up. That's your discount rate, and you use that discount rate to discount the cash flows back to present value.
How many cannabis business have you guys, as your company, your firm, valued?
I think over the last 3 years, we've valued more than 10 businesses in cannabis, but it's increasing at an increasing rate. So right now, more than half of my clients are cannabis companies. So the first year, one. The second year, a bunch. And this year, we're just starting this year, it's clearly going to be double last year.
And it seems like from some of your talk a few minutes ago that you're also putting together everything you learn from an evaluation, you're putting together as maybe a form of benchmarking. So you said you're looking at public company valuations and then private company valuations. So you're even in addition to the deals you're doing, you're looking at the industry as a whole, and that helps you come up with good discount rates or reduce the discount rates, that kind of thing.
One of the difficult parts of doing a business valuation for a cannabis company is that doing what we call a market approach, market method, requires that we be able to look at publicly traded companies that are similar and use the multiples evident, price to revenue multiples, and look at acquisitions of private companies. That information is very sparse in the cannabis industry for private companies because they just don't report. They don't need to report their sales price or their revenue levels. So I've developed a quarterly industry update that I publish and I give it away for free. And it gathers all of the publicly traded company information, pricing multiples, all the IPOs that have pricing multiples, and all the privately, all the acquisitions of private companies and their multiples, sparse as they are. But I publish that information on a quarterly basis, and I provide it to whoever wants it for free.
So, and besides your the cannabis industry activity, what does separate Cogent from other business valuation companies?
One of the things that separates Cogent from other business valuation firms is that the partners are actively involved. All of the projects are managed and run, and a lot of the work is done on projects by the partners or managing directors. So I work very closely with my clients and my staff on every project. And so you don't get junior people working on your project, you get the leads on your project actually working in your project.
How do you measure success? So you're valuing companies, and then they sell and have a good deal. Is it, how do you measure, how does a business valuation company measure success, whether it's cannabis business or any business?
I measure success by how my clients feel about the work that I've done. I measure success if it's a litigation support by both sides walking away, maybe not happy, but satisfied that the value that they've agreed upon based on my valuation work is at least fair. And I see that as a measure of success. Or that a company that had been made an offer from the outside to acquire part of all of their business, at the end of the day, they feel satisfied. These are difficult situations. You've got litigation, you've got buy-ins, you buyouts, and for the parties to go away happy, or at least comfortable that the values they've agreed upon are reasonable, that for me is success.
So last question, what do you see the future of the industry, the cannabis industry? Where do you see the future? Where do you see it going from a, states and the valuations, from the valuation standpoint, where do you see the industry going?
The industry is changing. It's clearly changing. A lot of it years ago was more like a cottage industry where you had small growers in California, co-ops for dispensaries. You saw small businesses in all the legal states, in some of the not legal states. I think it will become much more regulated, which is good and bad. You will have bigger businesses, which will be good and bad. You'll see prices come down, which is good for buyers, maybe not so good for sellers. And you'll see legalization in more states. And I believe that eventually the federal government will see the medical benefits and unschedule it or reduce the scheduling of cannabis. And I think this is an industry that's going to stay, it's going to grow, and I think it's going to help a lot of people.
This has been CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner. For more information and to tell your entrepreneurial story, visit us on the web at ceominutes.com.